Thank you, Simon. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Good morning. Katie, I, Silas, Noah, Obi, Elsie bring love from Wellington as well. It's great to be here. Thank you for putting on the weather. It is indeed plenteous, which is great. And this morning I want us to consider empathy and why it's so important, both us as individuals, but also as a community. But first of all, I'm going to start by maybe requesting a little bit of sympathy for our late night. So with that, you may come, well, why does he need sympathy for a late night? Maybe he hasn't been doing some things that he should have been doing, which last night is probably not too far off. It was Simon's birthday celebration, so we were up later than normal. But actually, when I wrote this, it was the day before Obi, who's now got a cast on, had been in the hospital. Well, we'd been in the hospital, Katie more appropriately, in Masterton, where there was not a lot of staff and they were under a lot of pressure, and we were there for 9 hours waiting for Obi to be looked at. And so it was a very frustrating time. It was kind of annoying. We didn't know whether we should go back to Wellington or whether we should stay. We didn't really know what the right thing to do was at the time. And we understood a little bit because it's a small hospital. We know generally the healthcare system's under pressure, but we're kind of missing bits of communication. That was so frustrating. We didn't really know what was happening. And so we were therefore somewhat unable to have empathy for those on the other side of the doors, right? We didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. For all we got little peeks through the doors and you see them kind of chatting away and you're like, well, could you just get on with it so we could be found. So you get glimpses of information, but in the absence of really understanding what's going on, it was very difficult for us to have empathy with what was going on the other side. And so we were kind of left somewhat kind of frustrated and angry at the system. And for those that have been through this situation, not necessarily at Masterton Hospital specifically, but you know, you end up, hopefully you can have some empathy with our situation for those who've had killed, broken your arms yourself or whatever, or bones for that matter, any bone. Or maybe if you haven't been in that situation, you can only give sympathy. We're having this debate over the weekend, the differences between empathy and sympathy. So the definition that I have is you have the feelings of pity and sorrow for someone else's misfortune. So you can have sympathy for us that night of spending night in the hospital. Or there's a sympathy between people, so there's an understanding between people, some common feelings of sympathy. Maybe you don't give us much sympathy for that. It was our fault. We should have looked after Obi a bit more before he fell off his mountain bike and broke his arm. So maybe there isn't so much sympathy there. It's like, well, you should have, should have looked after him a bit more, so it's your own fault. Maybe instead you can give me some other types of sympathy. My wife this morning says she hates this jersey. So maybe you have sympathy for the fact that I am not in control of my own wardrobe. Maybe you can have some sympathy for that. Maybe you can have sympathy for my children who complain about my prickly beard or my prickly grey beard. Now, thanks to John, it's like you've looked greyer than last time I saw you, which is probably true because of the time we spend in hospital. See, I'm trying to build up some sympathy. Or you can have sympathy because my friends don't believe in many of the things that I do. They don't believe that autonomous vehicles are coming or the fact that artificial intelligence is going to help rather than hinder the world. But again, maybe you can have some sympathy for me because of the friends that I keep. See, that one felt a bit better. But empathy, what's empathy? So the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. To be able to kind of put yourself in their shoes, to be able to understand them because you can understand how they might be feeling or how they might be responding to something. And so we can empathize, can't we, for those that are celebrating Easter weekend, Easter Sunday as it is today. We can empathize because we understand why they might be doing it. Maybe not exactly why, because we do it every Sunday. You know, we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus every Sunday. But we can empathize for those who are celebrating Easter this weekend. But I want to spend more time thinking about empathy because of the consequences of having better empathy. Because empathy really has a huge impact when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to situations within families, within friendship groups, within ecclesias, within the broader community. And it is especially important when you're in scenarios of conflict. Empathy is really, really important when relationships are somewhat under pressure. Ooh, it buzzes too. But firstly, I want to talk a little bit about my personal battle with pride. So at Bible school, and for those, lots of us were there, Guy Alexander was talking about Solomon. But talking about the fact that God's hand is not too short. There's really nothing that we can do that means God's hand of mercy will not be able to reach us. And Solomon really, that whole session actually had quite an impact on me, and I'll kind of get to that point. But Solomon was loved by God. He was chosen by David, despite the fact that he was, to be king, despite the fact that he was kind of 10th in line. He was, chosen by God to be king. He was given wisdom that made him, unique in the world. And he was also, as we know, given incredible riches and honor. But as we know, he didn't follow the kingly instructions. He placed heavy tax on the people, the horses, and married Pharaoh's daughter and had lots and lots of wives that turned his heart. But ultimately, and this was the piece that kind of got me, was it was pride that caused his downfall. He had all of these things going for him, had all of the blessings that we could have asked for this kind of king, but it was pride that caused his downfall. And so we were obviously reading from Proverbs today, and there's much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. But from Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Lean not on your own understanding. And this was the bit that kind of got me, because I quite like to stand on my own understanding and lean on it quite heavily. And you kind of feel, again, a sense of pride on knowing things, on being able to explain things, on being able to intellectually, lexicographically have discussions with people about things. But we also, in Wellington, it was a few weeks before, I think, we had an exhortation on Jacob. Jacob wrestling with an angel. And kind of these kind of concepts came together to me, where kind of I felt, and I still feel, and maybe many of you do as well, that we are continuously wrestling with pride. And Jacob's encounter was, he struggled and eventually submitted as a symbol of both humility, but also of transformation. And so the lesson for me out of that exhortation, again, when connected with pride and with Solomon, was strength and skills do not determine all outcomes. It's not just down to us that we achieve everything. As we know also from Proverbs, time and chance does happen to all and does create the unexpected. We cannot rely upon ourselves. We should not rely upon ourselves, because we need to rely on God. And so for me, the battle, this battle with pride, this wrestling with pride, is all about giving up control. It's about giving up on that inner gremlin that keeps fighting back. It's about the battle with letting go of my pride. And so that, thankfully for my family, turns into the battle to let empathy win. And so empathy for me is seeking to understand others before seeking to be understood. And that for me is a battle to understand where others are coming from before trying to convince them of where I'm coming from. The battle to understand others rather than trying to make them become like me. A battle to give up my pride and exchange it for empathy, because empathy ultimately then leads to love. Because if we think about it, without empathy, love isn't as deep. If we think about our best relationships, our closest friends, typically we'll find that empathy is at the core of those. You understand kind of why they like the things they like, why they are the way they are. You understand why they may have certain music choices, why one may like the Bangles and the others may like some heavy metal. You may understand why some, for some reason, may like Man United. Some may like ponies rather than dogs. But you understand why they like these things, the background behind them. And that is empathy, and ultimately builds a stronger bond with that person, with that group. And within ecclesial life, this is even more important, because fortunately, there are lots of people that are different from me. Just like there are lots of people different from all of us in an ecclesia. Now again, at a Bible school, John Launchbury was talking about the book of Luke, but spent a bit of time on the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15. And for me, this really was an esoteric opportunity for Christians to be able to show a different approach. An approach that was inclusive and understanding amongst a diverse group of believers. At the time in society, there were incredible differences between the Jews and between the Romans and the Greek influence. And there was incredible differences in terms of the roles in society, in terms of laws, in terms of just all sorts of things. But of course, the matter at the Council of Jerusalem was, should we adopt these Jewish traditions? Do we need to hold fast to these? And so this meeting was convened to address that fact. Do the Gentile converts to Christianity need to follow the Jewish law of circumcision? It was a meeting to discuss inclusivity against tradition. It was a decision to enforce or to compromise. But if we consider the impact that meeting had on Christianity, it probably cannot be overstated. It was crucial for the early church's growth, emphasizing a faith and a love in Jesus Christ over adherence to these laws. And it should have set a precedent for all of us in handling disputes within the Christian community. We see really then from the writings afterwards, Paul writings to all of the churches, in the context of this incredible conflict, in the context of this incredible diversity, Paul is really pushing the significance and the importance of being mindful of others' consciences, mindful of not causing others to stumble, but underscoring the importance of empathy in action and really believing empathy's significance to the core. And Paul gave volumes and volumes of practical advice in that context. But we need to remember the challenges that they were under, the pressure cooker that each of those ecclesias would have been feeling. And it's in those circumstances, it's clear why Paul spends so much time focused on empathy and compassion. Now, we're told that we should share the joy and the sorrow of each other. We can't do that unless we genuinely understand each other and we have empathy for why there is so much happiness, why there is so much elation, maybe euphoria, and why there is so much sorrow. We need to be able to carry each other's burdens. Without understanding why something's a burden, can we genuinely help someone? Can we carry their burdens if we, one, maybe we don't even know they're a burden. We may just merely view it as an inconvenience, but for others it's a thorn in the side. And in Ephesians we're told that we should focus on having kindness and compassion. I just clicked the wrong button and I've lost my whole thing. I'll be back. Scroll. After Bible school, we were traveling up north and happened to get hold of a book on empathy. So reading a little bit of that and kind of considering this challenge of pride, but also the significance, as Brother John brought out, of the ecclesial challenge. And so I've been spending a little bit of time trying to understand the impact of empathy as a bridge across differences, and quite specifically across generational differences. And I've done that because we're in a unique time in history where there's 4 or 5 generations in most organizations, whether it be at work, but also in ecclesial life. And so we're living and working in this environment and worshiping in this environment where there's huge generational gaps and time zones that we're crossing. And I think many of today's frictions and challenges are because there's a disconnect between the generations. There's both a misunderstanding, I think, of where generations are coming from, but also an incomprehension of what and the lived experiences are of older generations, and for the older generations to understand the youngest generations, what we've been brought up in, what we're dealing with, the lived experiences are so different, they've got to the point of being incomprehensible. But we don't spend enough time to try and understand each other. And instead, within this diverse group, we end up trying to convince each other of our perspectives, of our rightness. And we don't focus on how do we appreciate the differences. We end up focusing on the differences rather than finding bridges on how to build across them. And so actually at our ecclesial camp, last weekend? Yeah, it wasn't it last weekend? We did some workshops, and we had multiple generations. It was 4 or 5, but broke up the generations, and Mark and I were the only ones in the 70s, as in 1970s, not 70 years old. I'm not that old yet. But it was quite incredible to have, from teenagers through to, I think we had some 70-year-olds in the group, but kind of breaking down these groups, and we asked them 3 questions. One, please share a life experience which has had a huge impact on your life. Share a value that you hold that's connected to that life experience. And then how you think that value should be applied in an ecclesial setting. To try and get that connective tissue between the different generations. And it was wonderful. As Sharon will say, there were many tears in some groups as people shared openly and vulnerably, and it was in a trusted environment. Interestingly, there were others that really struggled to self-reflect, that they really struggled to identify the events or the stories or the values that made them who they are. And so it was really exciting to see empathy building as you began to understand each other a little bit more, as the pennies dropped as to why somebody was the way they were, because that insight into their own self-reflection, their own life, began to build empathy. And so we really need to both seek it out in terms of intellectual understanding of each other, but more importantly, we need to bring it into the practical, don't we? We need to find ways to bring this into daily life where we can encourage each other to actions that reflect this new understanding and shared compassion. And so how do we embody empathy? And of course, Jesus is the ultimate embodiment. How can we view each other through Jesus' eyes, through his eyes of pure compassion and pure grace. For Jesus is the example of active empathy. We know in the Hebrew words, they're very action-oriented, and sometimes we take too much of an intellectual approach to words, and it's all about active empathy, active compassion. And as we know in Jesus, in many of the parables, the Good Samaritan, or the story of the Samaritan woman, or the healing of the centurion's servant, Jesus went across those divides. He went across societal differences, went across generational differences. And he showed that in order to have compassion and deep love, you have to have empathy. And so we need to focus on, how do we live through Jesus' eyes? How do we see the world from Jesus' perspective? How do we consider the transformative power of empathy through Jesus' example? For Jesus' empathy is indeed unique, of course. But we know that he has spirit-led insights into the human condition. He has insights from being like us, walking on this earth, dealing with the challenges of a group of disciples that were different, living in a society that was challenged, as we read, by the Romans and the traditional Jews. But of course, he did have insights from the Holy Spirit. But we have simple examples, Jesus weeping with Mary and Martha, showing deep compassion over Lazarus' death. Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he wept. And Jesus was moved with compassion for the widow's son who had died, and he raised him. And we know that Jesus had incredible empathy and compassion. And Jesus in Hebrews is described as the high priest who can empathize with our weaknesses, having been tempted in every way, but as we know, yet without sin. And Jesus' compassion for us is so great that he died for us. As we read this morning in our Luke reading, it's a very humbling passage. Very humbling episode in the history of the world and the history of Christianity. But it shows the incredible love that Jesus had. And I was just struck reading it again by verse 28. We'll give it a bit of context. As they led him away, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, they put a cross on his back and made him carry it behind Jesus. And a great number of people followed him, among them women who were mourning and wailing for him. But despite the whole scenario, what Jesus had been through, what he knew he was about to go through, Jesus turns to them and says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." He knew what he was about to go to. He knew the pain and the suffering that he was about to deal with. He was about to wrestle inside himself. As we know from the garden, he wrestled deeply for hours. And so therefore he knows what we need to wrestle with as well. But also, he knows us so well, he empathizes so much, that we're also advised in Hebrews that we need to approach the throne of grace with confidence. We need to approach the throne of grace with confidence. Because Jesus' love for us is so deep. Because he can empathize with us so much. That we need to, if we seek the love in his love in the same way, if we seek empathy for each other in the same way, then we can approach that throne with confidence. Confident in forgiveness, confident in grace. So as we take the bread, let us consider our weaknesses. Let us consider how we fail to actively be compassionate when others need it. Let us consider our human inability to empathize with others when they need it. Let's consider wrestling with our pride and losing. But let's consider God's grace, knowing that He will forgive us, for His arm is not too short. And as we take the wine, let us follow Jesus' direction to be bold, to be confident that His God-given empathy has saved us. And let us think about that kingdom when He said He will drink it with us again. And let us pray that that will come quickly. Thank you.